rules of procedure for the County Council zoning hearings. When Council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because Council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the planning zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning zoning hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, Council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you are required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lang, and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that the prior speakers have already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, Council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, Council will do likewise. We have one hearing this morning, and it's conditional use 1975, Ronald and Susan Berwick. Mr. Lang.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. This application is to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for auto repair and sales to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1.06 acres, more or less, lying east of Route 225, also known as Marshall Street, 2,767 feet north of Route 207, also known as Johnson Road, and also being north of Jumpin' Jack Lane and being identified on the tax rolls as tax map ID District 330, map 15, parcel 20.01. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on January 9. In the process of that public hearing, we heard comments from DLDOT, comments from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. Mr. Ronald Berwick and Edward Roffing were present on behalf of the application and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application, and on January 9, 2014, there was a motion by Mr. Burton, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried unanimously to defer action. That motion carried 4-0. On January 23rd of 2014, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1975 for Ronald and Susan Berwick for auto repair and sales based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. Two, the site has a history of automotive use. Mr. Berwick's father started an automotive repair business on this site in 1944. This type of use existed there until about 2.5 years ago. 3, the use as an automotive repair facility is of a public or semi-public character and is desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the area. 4, there are other business and commercial uses in the area, including an oil company, construction company, trucking and excavating company, a convenience store, and another automotive repair facility. 5, there were no parties appeared in opposition to the application. And 6, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, the hours of operation shall be from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. B, one lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet per side shall be permitted. C, security lighting shall be downward screened and shall be directed away from neighboring properties and roadways. D, any dumpsters shall be screened from view of neighbors and roadways. The dumpster location shall be shown on the final site plan. E, all repairs shall be performed indoors. No automotive parts shall be stored outside. F, no junked, unregistered, or permanently inoperable vehicles or trailers shall be stored on the site. G, no more than 15 cars shall be displayed for sale on the site at any one time. No more than 5 additional vehicles may be parked outside the building in preparation for the sales lot. H, all display areas, parking, and storage areas shall be clearly depicted on the final site plan. I, no more than 5 vehicles waiting for service or parts may be parked outside. J, the site shall be subject to all DLDOT entrance and roadway requirements. And K, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. It was a motion by Mr. Burton, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried unanimously to forward this application to Sussex County Council with a recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. And that motion carried 5-0. The report I provided to council in your packet on Friday has got more detail in those statements that were made by the applicant, the county engineering department, and DLDOT. That's all I have. If you have any questions,
I do.
I received no additional letters or correspondence from any individual or agency.
My question is about noise. I'm sure the state noise ordinance would respond to if it was a problem. If this was, it's just repair, right?
Right, it's all a repair shop. Repair. It's all supposed to be indoors, not outside.
Have you ever heard of dynamometer? Because I have. And they would be able to have, it's very, very loud in buildings.
So yeah, I understand.
I'm just saying that I think we do have a noise ordinance, the state is responsible for answering to that, right?
And but the county does not.
Right, but the state does that. Okay.
Are there any other questions from council? If not, is the applicant here and would like to come forward and speak? Ronald and Susan Berwick. If you'll give us your full name and address for the record, please, and then explain why you want to have this and why the council should grant this application.
Ronald Lee Berwick, 913 South DuPont Boulevard, Milford, Delaware, 19963. we want to, right now we're trying to lease the property out. And the leasee has interest in buying it if things work out good. I'm retired for about 8 years now, and our kids moved out of state, and we'd like to kind of smooth up the estate a little bit if we could. Anything else?
You'd like to do what? Smooth, what did you say?
Smooth up the estate.
Smooth up the estate.
Their estate.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we'd like to.
So you want to lease it? You want to have that lease, though?
The gentleman leasing the property has given interest there. If the lease works out and the business holds up good, that he would like to purchase the property after the end of the lease.
Okay, I understand.
So we would like to, you know, go ahead and get, settle up the estate a little bit, clear it up for our kids, because both of them are out of state now.
So you have someone that is either leasing or interested in leasing the property and potentially buying, and they want to be able to have a shop, auto mechanic shop on the property. Is that correct?
Correct. We have a signed lease already.
Okay.
From the applicant, and with conditional, you know, that he gets the conditional use approved.
And he is here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It might be helpful in a moment that you have him speak as well.
Okay.
To what he's specifically planning to do on the property. Is there any questions from the council of?
Well, maybe my question would be more directed to the new person coming in. I'm just concerned when I look at the area and stuff that, you know, I don't mind the repairs and all that stuff because of the history and everything, but the 15 cars, you know, ends up looking like a car lot more so, and it just seems that, you know, pretty much out of character with the residential and farming area of the area. So I'm just concerned about the number of cars, maybe. So maybe the app, your
right. I think it'd be helpful to bring your person up.
Yeah. The need for maybe so many cars.
Again, if you would give us your full name and address, please.
Sure. My name is Edward Roffling. I live 13217 Milton, Delaware.
Okay. Yeah, maybe you could just currently and historically, I don't think it was a place that was repairing cars, and then you could correct me, sir, if I'm wrong. It was just auto repair.
Correct.
Maybe a couple cars were for sale, and I'm just wondering if it's kind of a big leap to go to 15 cars out there for sale, especially when you take into consideration the type of road it's on and the neighborhood and stuff. So, I mean, could you explain why you would like to have 15 cars?
Well, I want to do a little bit of both. I want to use car sales and mechanical. Most of the mechanical will be based on what I sell. Mm-hmm. Right from there, I mean, it's just a matter of, I mean, it may be 15 cars, it may be less. But I want to have a maximum that I can allow to put on there. Everything else, automotive is basically part-time for the public. Mm-hmm. I will have some of that. Basically, most of my mechanical. And as far as the noise goes, the loudest thing in there is the compressor, and it's in a building where it's all bricked in. That's where the compressor noise will come from. That would probably be the extent of the noise coming from the, you know, surrounding area there.
Okay.
We lived next door to a race car driver. It's a bad experience.
Oh, I could understand that.
Now, that's rare.
The compressor is in a cemented building. I mean, all the sides are cemented. So the noise outside, you barely hear that running. Inside, you will hear it a little bit. But outside, you can barely hear anything running from the inside.
I understand.
Okay. And Lawrence, on the setback where the cars are displayed, or how much is a setback from the roadway, and could you tell us all that?
The ordinance provides that the car display would be 25 foot forward. And in most cases, there are variance processes where they could apply for less.
Right. Okay, is there a suitable area to park 15 cars?
Yes.
Is it paved or is it?
Not at this time, it's not paved. The driveway is paved.
Right.
But where you park the cars is a grassy area. And then right there is a big tree that eventually will come out, and it'll give a numbersman room there, too.
So, my question to Lawrence would be, what kind of requirements could he just start parking cars, 15 cars, if this gets approved? Does he need to have improvements, a parking area and things like that?
You get into the improvement requirement when you have the requirement for more than 10 customer vehicles. Display areas does not have to be paved. It could actually be a gravel area or a grass area. They could just park. For display purposes only, mm-hmm. Not for customers. Mm-hmm. Driveway and customer areas has to be improved, but it gets to the pavement would come about if there's more than 10 vehicles required. That would be a display area, so the display area can be grass or it could be gravel unless you so stipulate that it be paved.
Are there any other questions from council? If not, is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else here that would like to speak in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, at this point, the public hearing is concluded, and if council so desires, we can close the public record and read the short title.
We'll close public hearing.
I have one question for
Excuse
Lawrence.
Me, Mr. Phillips.
Lawrence,
sir.
You referenced 10 automobiles as a threshold for something. What was that?
Pavement.
So at 15, will he have to pave the area?
No. As I said, the display area could be grass or gravel. It does not have to be paved.
What does, if you go over 10 vehicles?
Driveway, the customer parking, if you exceed 10 vehicles, that has to be improved.
So he will have to pave that area at least if he goes over 10?
I wouldn't imagine. His requirements for his shop would not require more than 10 vehicles.
Okay, it's the shop vehicles, not the display area.
No, the display area is separate.
Thank you.
Unless you say stipulate.
Understood.
Anything else from council? We will close the public hearing, and if it's okay with council, close public comment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. More read short title, please.
Yes, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for auto repair and sales to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 1.06 acres, more or less, tax map ID 3-30-15-20.01, with conditions as were read into the record by Mr. Lank on page 3 of the handout in your packet, which were listed as A through K.
Pleasure, Council.
I'd like to move that we adopt it.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Phillips, to approve conditional use number 1975. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
I vote for it, and a lot of it due to what Planning and Zoning discovered, and they do have conditions here. I think they've looked at it pretty darn carefully. We had no objections from the neighborhood, and so that's my yes vote.
Cool.
I'll vote yes. It's had a long history of automotive use, and this isn't any dramatic change from that. Hopefully, it continues to look nice, neat, and is an asset to the neighbors. So I'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips.
It does seem like a lot for a small parcel of ground, but it does have a history of this type of activity. It appears that the community is not concerned by the number of folks that showed up. Planning and zoning has placed conditions on this, which I think will protect that absent public. And for those reasons, I will vote yes.
I also agree with findings of planning and zoning and the conditions placed on it. It has history of use for the same purpose. Nobody up here to oppose it. So I will vote yes, motion carried, and conditional use number 1975 with conditions approved. Thank you, Mr. Lank. Mr. Izzo here, there he is right there. Mike Izzo, Inland Bay's Regional Wastewater Facility Phase 2B Expansion.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning, sir.
I'm here to discuss a proposed bid award recommendation for the Inland Bay's Regional Wastewater Facility. This is our Phase 2B expansion. The scope of work will start the process of constructing new sludge handling facilities. This is the first step towards moving towards a Class A sludge. Currently, we have a liquid sludge at the Inland Bays. We want to move to a dry sludge. If you think about it, our South Coastal plant, we have a Class A sludge, which is dry, but it's also pasteurized, and we can distribute that to farmers. This will move us to the dry sludge, but we're not yet to the point where we can pasteurize it and distribute it to the farmers like we do at South Coastal. Bids were originally opened on June 19th, but due to higher than expected cost, all bids were rejected at that time. Council gave us direction to take steps to increase the bidder pool since we only had two bids. To that end, we reached out to some 20 general contractors, most of which that had bid our projects before. Others were just general contractors throughout the Mid-Atlantic region that we were familiar with. Also, we met with the two contractors who bid our project, and we received a number of value engineering proposals. And by incorporating those suggestions into the bid package, a reduction in of $122,000 was received from the previous bid. And let me review the bids. Unfortunately, we still only received two bids. Even with the extended reach out to contractors, we did have five general contractors procure plans and specs, so we were hopeful we would receive more bids. The low bidder was Bearing Construction of Sudlerville, Maryland, at the bid amount of $3,017,850. As I indicated, that is $122,600 less than our June bid, so the effort was worthwhile to reduce the bids. However, we did not receive the actual overall bidding pool that we hoped to receive at that time. Do we have any questions?
Questions to the council.
What are these people?
Mrs. Deaver.
What are they so busy doing that they don't have
bid
on this?
Work has increased, but the economy, I think a lot of our contractors, not just our contractors, contractors in general are not anxious to hire bigger staffs yet because even though the work has picked up. So the contractor pool is spread thin, even though we're not as busy as we were back in 2005, 2004. The contractors themselves have not staffed up as much. And I think that's really affecting the bidding process.
Okay.
Is there, could we possibly delay it again? I mean, or put it off, thinking it may improve, or do we, or is time of the essence on getting this done?
Receive a call saying, I wish they would delay it again. One of the things that I notice on most every bid award is an engineer's estimate, and it's not here this time. Why is that?
I just probably neglected to put it on there. I was more interested in giving you the information relative to the previous bids. The engineer's estimate was $2,750,000.
Oh, really?
But you reached out to 20 other people.
Yes, I did.
Five of them picked up packets.
Two of them actually combined. JJID and Daisy were general contractors, and they've gone together to bid it. The odd thing about that is JJID had bid the job back in June, and the combination of them going together was actually $300,000 higher than what they bid in June. So, one other thing I need to mention is that we have some USDA grant funding in our possession, $850,000 that could go towards this project, and it does have a time limit. Gene and I met with them in the last couple of weeks, and we have to expend this money by September 30th of this year, or it'll go back into the national pool.
Oh, I don't want that.
Well, this bid opening was back in October. Is there any reason it was delayed till February?
One thing we did to try to also try to attract bids was set up a flexible start date for our contractors. We used to do that back in 2005, 2006, again, because everybody was so busy.
Right.
We would give them a six-month time frame from when they can start, and in this case, Bearing saying they would be ready to start on May 1st. So there wasn't really a rush to get in here and award this, but we would like to start getting organized, especially since we met with USDA within the last couple weeks, and they told us about this grant money and its expiration date.
I've got concerns. I'm concerned that you did not provide us with the estimate. It's a staple of these bids that we look at, and for some reason, it's conveniently missing this time. The second is,
I thought
we're
the information
sudden,
relative, I did provide the information relative to the previous bid, which I felt was more important.
The other thing is, back in October, there's no rush, but now all of a sudden there is a rush. This thing was sat on for 5 months. I mean, you say there's an estimate out there that you did, and you obviously would be standing by it. $390,000 less than the previous low bid, and over $250,000 less than this current bid. It would just seem like.
But there's no assurance if you go back out again, you're going to get.
I got a call this morning from a contractor that said.
And who would that be?
They were busy back last year when this thing was going on. It was end of the summer when these things went out and opened in October. said that he and other contractors in the meantime have finished up a lot of jobs, and there's folks that would like to have the opportunity to bid on this.
And which contractor would
and
that be?
I'm with the fact that we're talking about over $250,000 more than your estimate, it would seem like it would be worth the effort.
Again, it cost us money to go back again to reincorporate the plans. But
how about the people who are going to, the end users? Are, how does that? Hello, Mr. Kramer. Yeah, how about the folks, the end users? I mean, what kind of urgency is there any there on that?
It's more an operational situation.
Okay.
We're in a situation where we're dealing with this liquid sludge, and there's limited
right.
amounts of time a year when we can apply.
Okay.
If we go to the dry sludge, it definitely helps our operations. And again, it's based upon we have this grant money. We could use it or lose it. But if my recommendation is we award it, but if we have to go back and rebid, we can do that.
And if you did rebid it, when could you be back to us with the estimate?
Well, our estimate would probably stay the same, or actually, I probably would say our estimate,
is,
since we bid it twice.
The question is, when would you be back? The question was, when would you be back? What is the timeline? Can you be back here with new bids April 1st?
We're sitting here on February 1st. I would say April 1st would probably be when we would be back in with new bids.
And I think you said this contractor wouldn't be ready to start until May, so I don't know that we'd be losing anything. But, you know,
they may not choose to bid it again.
I would like to say something.
Shadiva?
To say to our engineer that the there was estimate that was missing, conveniently missing, I that sounds to me like an accusation of some kind, and I want to object to that.
What are you talking about?
You, what you said.
That the estimate was missing?
You said it was conveniently missing.
It is curious to me that every other bid comes in with an engineering estimate, and this one opened in October, did not have an estimate. It was delayed 5 months, and now all of a sudden we're in this great big rush. It's $250,000 less than the engineering estimate. Yeah,
anything
it's
else
very
council?
Curious.
Yeah.
Anything else from council?
Yeah, the motion, I'm sure.
Well,
yeah.
I think that's okay. You have a motion, Mr. Rizzo?
Yes, I do. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that Sussex County Project 12-17 Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility Expansion Phase 2B Solids Handling Rebid be awarded to Bearing Construction at the bid amount of $3,017,850 pending the funding agency approval.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
A motion. Mrs. Deaver, excuse me, Mr. Colton, second, Mrs. Deaver. Questions on the motion?
I have no questions. I just, you know, I'll give you my reasons when it's time.
No questions on the motion. We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes, and when he's working with Ms. Jennings here for that about that grant, it's very important that we be timely as far as that's concerned. And I'm learning a little bit about Class A and Class B sludge. The Class A is better. So.
We intend to propose that in next year's budget.
Yes.
To move to the Class A process.
Yes.
Cole?
I'll vote yes.
Phillips?
Well, there are a number of issues that are of concern. First and foremost is the number of bidders. I did not know, based on anything that was given to us, that JJID combined with Daisy on this. And I believe you said that their previous bid was $350,000 less. So looking at this.
Their previous bid was, that's correct. When JJID bid as a loan general.
Looking at this, JJID probably would not make the mistake of combining with Daisy again. And that would put their bid at a very competitive level with Bearing right now. I'd also have to say that this engineering estimate is something that we take very seriously. When contractors come in under the engineer's estimate, it's waved around as a reason to give the bid to that contractor. We now have something that's $250,000 over the engineering's estimate, and it's missing. Oh, is that okay? It's
I'll
missing.
Make sure I include it on all
well,
everyone in the future.
You were accusing somebody of wrongdoing.
You know, maybe $250,000 is not much when we talk about getting federal funds of $800,000 that would negate it. But to me, we've heard that we can have another bid in front of us by April 1st. The winning contractor couldn't start until May 1st. I'm going to vote no in the hopes that that we can ask this to be rebid.
I understand the people wanting to bid this. Apparently they called Mr. Phillips and inquired about rebidding it and that they have less work now to do and they're more excited about doing this. But this is the second time we bid this project. Apparently, if I understood you correctly, you handed out to have 20 inquiries.
Yep.
Five picked up bidding packages, which says they were thinking about bidding it, and you still only have two bidders. I don't understand that, but people are going to do their business how they want to do their business. And there's no guarantee if we rebid it, it'll be cheaper yet because it'll cost more money. So with that in mind, I will vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
John Ashman. Angola North expansion of the Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District. Request repair and post notices. That's a mouthful, isn't it?
Good morning. I have two items on the agenda today. The first one would be permission to prepare and post notices for the Angola North area. We previously completed a planning study for the area based on a resolution that was presented and approved by County Council on May 25th, 2010, where we used a planning study grant from the then Clean Water Advisory Council and contracted with CABE Associates to complete the plan. We've reviewed that plan. Some of the players have gone, some have come, and most of them have stuck around. And we have multiple projects in the area in various stages of design, one being Pelican Landing, which is to the north side of Route 24, and the Boat Hole, which is right at Love Creek. We also have an existing commercial parcel, which is Peddler's Village, that is interested in a regional option for dealing with their future wastewater treatment and disposal needs. And in addition, we have a request from the existing subdivision known as Love Creek Woods for the county to explore the cost and possibility of supplying county sewer for their community. And we have had several inquiries throughout the years for Fox Hollow and some reports of failing septic systems there.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions?
Questions of
I have any questions. It sounds like it should be done. I know some of the folks are having a lot of problem with these septic systems, and they, when they fail, it's not a nice picture.
You have a motion, sir?
I do.
Be with your motion.
Be it moved by Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to prepare and post notices for the extension of the Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District to include the area known as Angola North, as presented on February 4th, 2014.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion?
No.
We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson? Well, Mr. Wilson. I vote yes.
When do you expect that you'd have a public hearing next?
Yeah, well, now that we have permission, we'll set up for a public hearing, figure out a date for a public hearing and have a schedule
about
and everything established.
Now,
public hearing, hopefully within a month and a half, hopefully.
But this all began in 2010?
Yeah, and it's sort of been a difficult path as to originally the developers were kind of on board as to install the everything, and it's kind of broken down into different developers not working together and,
mm-hmm.
and getting down,
yeah.
So it's taken a while.
Just want to make sure I understood that right.
Yeah, and we wanted to make sure we had everything in order before we set up a public hearing and go
right.
in there and talk.
Absolutely.
Next, you have Gosley Creek Planning Study Grant Resolution.
I do. I'm here before you this morning to request a resolution for the Regional Planning Study Grant for the Gosley Creek Planning Area. The resolution for the Sussex County Council is required in order for the Engineering Department to apply for a planning study grant from the Water Infrastructure Advisory Council. As presented on January 14th, we have multiple projects in the area in various stages of design are interested in a regional option for dealing with their future wastewater and treatment and disposal. County Council approved the proposal from Whitman Recward Associates in an amount of $167,215 to perform the planning study as part of their North Coastal contract. And the study will confirm the size of the drainage basin, what new projects and or existing homes can be served, and how they can be served. It also includes a plan for how these parcels are served with estimated costs for the infrastructure to provide that service. And the grant monies that we're applying for are based on a 50% match. Their maximum is $150,000, which we don't need that much. So we're applying for $83,607.50.
You have a motion?
I have a resolution.
Just read the short title then.
Yes, to submit a request for a regional wastewater planning grant to the Water Infrastructure Advisory Council for matching funds to finance a planning study for the Gosley Creek planning area.
Pleasure, Council.
I'll introduce that, or I'll...
Make a motion.
Make a motion.
Mrs. Deaver makes a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Phillips seconds it. Any questions on the motion?
No.
Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
I'll vote yes, motion carries. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Jim Hicken. Potential closure of FAA navigation aid.
Good morning. I'm here to give you a very quick update on something that the FAA is proposing to do that I think is going to have a negative impact on the airport, and just let you know that we're addressing the issue. The FAA is proposing to decommission what's called the Waterloo VOR. VOR stands for VHF Omni Range. That's why it's called VOR. It's a ground-based navigation facility. It sits out in the Broadkill Beach area. It's a very large antenna. It looks like a bowling ball sitting on top of a one-story round building out there. I don't know if you've ever seen that or not. They're having some flooding issues, as you can imagine, in that area, mold, and now they're starting to have some structural problems with the facility. So they're proposing to close that, and they've asked the public for comments. The comments are due next Friday on Valentine's Day, and our proposed letters in your packets to review. VORs are, as I said, it's a ground-based facility. It's a radio transmitter. It's been kind of the standard instrument navigation aid since about the 60s. It's the basis for the airway system, the highways in the sky, and also for instrument approach procedures at airports. And this VOR supports our two VOR instrument approaches at the airport, one to each end of our main runway. And as I said, it's kind of the standard low-cost system that everybody has. The FAA is moving towards a satellite-based navigation system, GPS, you know, same GPS you have in your car. And we do have two GPS approaches to the airport, which are actually much better approaches. The problem is not everybody that uses the airport has that GPS capability. So closing the VOR means that those people, when the weather's bad, can't land at the Sussex County Airport. The other problem that I have is I can't give you a number exactly of how many people that's going to affect or, you know, what it's going to cost us. But it's obvious to us that from talking to some of the users out there that it's going to have that negative effect that, you know, they can't come here when the weather's bad. Some of our small charter operators that come here a lot that we've talked to that don't have GPS capability, it would affect them, some of the individual business aircraft, and a lot of our individual users that are based at the airport. Aircraft such as the ones that come to the PATS and the larger fractional owner, NetJet type operations, they're fine. They can use GPS. They wouldn't be affected by this. We do think closing the VOR is going to have a negative effect on the airport. There's no way it can have a positive effect. So we're opposed to it for that reason. As I said, I can't put a number on it, but it's kind of obvious that it's going to hurt us in some way. We were going to discuss this with the Airport Advisory Committee at our last meeting, but we had the snow and canceled the meeting. But from emails going back and forth, there's a consensus among the Advisory Committee, at least, that we should oppose this, and that's what we're doing. And as I said, the letter's in your packets to review. That'll go out in the next few days, unless you tell me no. But we are opposed to this, and I think it's important enough that we have to go on record to say that.
And the reason they want to close it down is because of flooding and...
It's been flooded out a couple times, and like I said, they're starting to have structural problems with the facility. They've had some mold issues they've had to address, and it's an expense thing for them. You know, and they look at it as, you know, they're going to GPS, and this is a facility they can close and not have too big of an impact on the system, just because we do have that GPS backup capability.
But you could still use it. It's still usable.
It's still usable,
yeah.
Right, but they're starting to spend a lot of money on maintenance, and that's their reason
is
for wanting to close
it. It's because it's in a bad location. I mean, is it something that's easily relocated, or is it?
No, not really.
Not really. It has to
and
be
there was a picture in your packet of what the thing looks like, and I mean, it's not just a radio tower. It's a fairly good-sized building. Like I said, it's got the big antenna on top. And,
okay. Mr. Phillips?
Obviously, this Melanie George is not the General Assembly representative. If she's working out of Georgia, is that correct?
Correct. She works in the flight procedures, or the I think it's flight procedures. They're the part of the FAA that
two
that
different
does
people.
That.
That's just all I need to know. It's located at Frog Kilby.
It's out there in that area. I'm not sure what the name of the road is, but it's pretty much out in the middle of nowhere.
I certainly agree that writing a letter to her is appropriate. Had you thought about possibly checking with our congressional delegation to see if they would be interested in helping us?
I have, and I've kind of been waiting for guidance from you on whether that's worth doing that or not. But
I don't see any reason why not.
Is there anybody here that think we shouldn't send a letter?
Of course not. But that system is fading out, but still very useful. You predict
right,
very, to be very useful for
very
a long
slowly,
time yet.
Very slowly. Mm-hmm. The FAA is phasing that out. For us, it's very important because it's the only VOR that's available for a VOR approach.
And our local paper wants us to build up business in the airport. That's what they said.
Also, maybe if we could get some information on exactly what are the expenses? What are they spending their money on? Is it flood control? Is it you know, whatever it is? Because there could be a way that we could, you know, look to try to find some funding to help correct whatever it's deteriorating there for the reasons they're thinking of decommissioning it. Mm-hmm. In other words, just because it's getting to be outdated, it may be another 20 years before it really is fully outdated or something, you know. So, you know, like you say, it's very important to us. So if we could find out more information, maybe it'd be easier for here at the local level and even other delegations in Washington, other get a grip of what the reason is. So maybe Melinda should be put on the spot and asked if she could give us a really in-depth study of the reasons for this possible decommissioning.
Well, that could be something the congressional delegation hits her up for.
But I mean, just when we go to talk to them, it'd be nice to say, here's the reasons they say they want to shut it down. And they're either good reasons or bad reasons, or maybe they don't have any reasons. Maybe they just want to shut it down because of the cost. Mm-hmm. And ask them what it costs to operate the thing every year. I'd like to know what is the cost. You know, just some stuff like that, Todd. So maybe we got that kind of information.
Yeah. Pending today's meeting, we were considering reaching out to the delegation to ask these types of questions and also weigh in on the issue. Certainly, they'd be in a better position to get answers from the FAA quicker.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
So, and also to let them know the importance that the results of this would have on our airport. So,
but we could still ask that it not shut down at this time.
Correct. At the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what we were going to propose to do.
It seemed it's a unanimous thing from council to please send that letter. And if Mr. Lawson would work with Mr. Hicken and contact our congressional delegation and ask these questions that Councilman Colwin asked about cost of what it costs to fix this thing or what they're doing, that kind of stuff.
Or just to keep it operating,
yeah.
Right?
Thank you.
What their operating
Thank
expenses
you,
are.
Thank you.
There's a partner.
Mr. Lank, old business, change of zone number 1739.
have one item of old business. It's change of zone number 1739. It's the application of Vance Phillips to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from AR1 Agriculture Residential District to a CR1 Commercial Residential District for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 16,150 square feet, more or less, and lying at the northwest corner of U.S. Route 13 and Route 24, and being identified on the tax roll, which is Tax Map ID District 332, Map 1.08, Parcel Number 39. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on December 12 of 2013 and made their recommendation on January 9th of 2014. Council public hearing was held on January 7th of 2014. The report in your packet is the same basic report as what you received on January 7th, except for the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission. And their recommendation is, as of December 12th of 2013, there was a motion by Mr. Smith, seconded by Mr. Burton, and carried with four votes to defer action for further consideration. That motion carried 4-0. Mr. Ross did not participate in the public hearing. And on January 9th, 2014, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone 1739 for Vance Phillips for a change of zone from AR1 to CR1 based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the rezoning will bring the property or this property into conformity with the other three corners of the Route 13, Route 24 intersection. The other three corners have commercial zone. And two, the location at the intersection of Route 13 and Route 24 is appropriate for CR1 zoning. Route 13 is a major arterial roadway in Sussex County, and this intersection is one of the main access points to the town of Laurel from the highway. And three, the rezoning will be consistent with a historically commercial use of the adjacent property. The next door property has been used as an automotive or auto parts store for many decades, predating county zoning. Four, this site is located within a town center district according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, and CR1 zoning is inappropriate zoning for the town center district under the plan. And five, the rezoning will not adversely affect neighboring properties, the community or area roadways. And six, no parties appeared in opposition to the application. Therefore, there was a motion by Mr. Smith, seconded by Mr. Burton, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 4-0. And I would note that Mr. Ross did not participate in that motion or in that public hearing or vote.
Is the opposite corner, is that where Royal Farm and Joe Neal's auction site is, right?
Yes.
The opposite, that's all yeah, been Caddy Corner would be right. The proposed Royal Farm store, Joe Neal's auction. The building still stands that was there on the corner that was an auto repair shop of some type.
Now, have we rezoned all that? It doesn't show on this map for some reason. The one we have here shows white still, is that?
No, it shows. We're just seeing a piece of it.
Oh, okay.
It should show. I don't know what you have. I'm looking at the corner on the southwest side is Bobby Carey's auto repair facility and towing service.
Right.
The southeast side is the O'Neill and that previous auto repair that is now proposed for the Royal Farm store. And then the northeast side is what was Laurel Motors, now Marino's,
and
a motel.
Right, then
this site's vacant. This site has a small house. I'm sorry.
Right. In Del Dot, obviously, it's not a very, doesn't have much depth, this site. Del Dot didn't really have many concerns.
They didn't have any negativity. It will be subject to any site plan review if the use, for whatever use is intended. Right. The parcel I made reference to, the auto repair, is on parcel immediately adjacent to the west of the site on the north side of 4th Street.
And next to it, the auto place, was Bernard or Barnard?
Morton Barnard.
Been there for what,
and
forever?
And now somebody else has been there since the 40s, I think, is
forever.
What was stated.
Yeah. Okay.
Any more questions of council?
No.
Pleasure, council.
Make a motion we adopt the ordinance.
Second.
I'll second.
We'll need to read the short title.
All right.
An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 16,150 square feet, more or less, tax map ID 3-32-1.08-39.
Make a motion to adopt the ordinance.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Dever. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Dever?
I vote yes. And planning and zoning, I think they deferred, then they went back and voted on it. I think they took a good look at it, and so it certainly suits the area. I vote yes.
Cole?
Yeah, the rezoning will bring it into conformity. There's all the other corners of that intersection are already zoned commercial. The parcel adjacent to it's been commercial for many, many years, and so I don't believe it'll change much. And hopefully, when the applicant does decide what he puts there, that Del Dot can get the appropriate entrances and access to that parcel, so they can be done safely.
Mr. Lang said the three corners there are already zoned commercial. This falls right in line with that. Building next to it's been commercial for at least 30 or 40 years. I see no reason why we shouldn't approve this. I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Grant request, Mrs. Jennings.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. The first grant is Love, Inc. of Delmarva, amid Delmarva. They're requesting funds to help low-income seniors that have been displaced from their homes due to a small fire and water damage. There have been no past grants to this organization. The total cost for relocation, transitional housing, utilities, and replacement of lost possessions is expected to exceed $40,000. They are requesting $15,000. I have Susan Kent from Love, Inc. and Amy Walls from Discover here to speak about this request.
Please come down. Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Can you give us your name and your request?
Sure. My name's Susan Kent, Executive Director of Love, Inc. of Mid Delmarva. On the 21st of January, there was a snowstorm happening. An elderly gentleman was cooking in his apartment, had a grease fire, set off the sprinkler system. Sprinkler system drenched a three-story low-income housing, brand-new building, Hampton Circle. And in the middle of the snowstorm, those elderly and disabled were with homeless. Half the building has been restored. It was not affected. And the other half is being in the midst of construction. It will take some time to do that. Community resources have come together, and we were able to find a local apartment complex that had enough inventory that's brand new that can allow for people with disabilities to have safe, stable housing during this process. Many of the people who were in the building did not have renter's insurance. Some did, and they're provided for. The grant request that we've put before you is for those who were not able to have any other family, friends, renter's insurance, any other way for housing. And we have met with, they were temporarily placed at the Days Inn, and we have met with those folks, and I've looked them in the eyes and seen their stress. They're not like you and I, where we're able to cope in with such a crisis. And hearing that the community has stepped up and come forward with an emergency plan for this disaster was a very huge comfort. We've talked about the importance of educating for the future on the importance of renter's insurance and those kinds of things, and we'll work with them on that. But right now, where we are is with these folks needing housing. So they will be able to move home, and that's the good news. And they will be able to, everything will be taken care of through this disaster plan that we've presented.
And you have asked other agencies, such as Discover Bank, to step up. And I guess Amy's going to tell us about that.
Sure. We've been working with Susan from the financial aspect, trying to cover this budget. We anticipate 3 months of housing that they'll need, but obviously, you know, things come up. Discover minimally has agreed to fund $15,000, which would be a match to Sussex County, and then also kind of come in at the end, continue to stay engaged with Susan and the agency so that if there are any other unforeseeable things that come up that need to be taken care of, that we can step in and provide for that. We know that in addition to the housing, we have utility expenses. We know that people have lost some of their belongings. And there's some other stressful things that just kind of come up as a result of this situation. So we're trying to make it our goal to ensure that, you know, the seniors feel comfortable and knowing that when they return to their homes that it's in the same state and they're in the same financial condition as they were when they left.
And the city of Seaver also is going to participate in this, I understand.
Right. They are offering to forego the deposit that would normally have to be placed for the utilities at their new place, their temporary home. And they've been very helpful with the whole process.
Who owns the building? I'm trying to...
Hampton Circle is owned by a nonprofit organization called Better Homes of Seaford, a group of people that came together in the 60s to provide affordable housing for folks. Virginia Crest Village, Hampton Circle, there's a list of their focus is on elderly at this point.
How many people?
So the people that we're working with on this particular piece, the ones that didn't have a resource are 13 people.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a variable to that, and we're aware of that, and we've put that sort of into the plan because there's 18 units total that are displaced, and they might come forward at some point where they're staying with family and might not have the ability to continue that. And we have very close pulse on that and have made connections with every single person. And right now, as it is, everyone is taken care of under this.
Right. Well, sure. And this, Mr. Jennings, this money we could take from the...
the emergency housing.
Oh, right. Good. That would be great.
Falls under there.
Yeah.
And Brad Whaley, he's here. He can speak on that. But the community development department supports this as well.
Certainly is an emergency.
Okay.
This is Brad. This is some of your department supports and is...
Yes. We have a favorable view of this request for a couple reasons. One is the vulnerability of the citizens that are affected, and then the opportunity to partner with a public-private project like this. We do have some concerns to maybe work so this doesn't happen again in the future.
Sure.
But we do have some funding available if the council would like us to allocate it.
I would like to see
Mr. Phillips has a question.
What would those steps be to help ensure it doesn't happen in the future?
Well, I would probably talk with the Delaware State Housing Authority. I think this complex was funded with a combination of income tax credit funding and home funding.
Uh-huh.
So maybe we could work to see if there's some type of regulatory process that could make sure that there's insurance in case this happens, because it could happen
exactly
on a larger scale.
Exactly what I was going to say. Same thing.
Yeah. I mean, just work towards it is what our goal would be.
It's not that you have an opinion how we can avoid the actual sprinkler system malfunction, but rather if it did again, we would have insurance against it.
Just some type of insurance coverage or backup, an alternative plan.
Makes sense.
Any more questions of council? Entertain a motion.
What do you recommend?
Well, what is the motion?
The
recommendation is to use $15,000 from the emergency housing fund.
And how much do we have in that fund?
We still have $127,000.
And I'll second.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second Mrs. Deaver, to grant $15,000 to Love Inc. of Mid Delmarva for emergency transitional housing expenses. Mm-hmm. Any questions on that motion?
Just thank you.
We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
For your service.
Next, Mrs. Jennings.
The next grant request is New Coverdale Outreach Mission. They're requesting funds to repair the building that had water damage due to broken pipes. The facility is used to help feed underprivileged families and give out warm clothes and toys to needy children. Last grant received was $500, $375 from Mr. Wilson, $125 from Mr. Phillips. They are requesting $1,500. I talked to Mr. Wilson. He supports giving the $375 that he gave last year.
Okay. I'll give $125 to make it $500.
I have a motion, Mr. Phillips. Second. Mr. Cole, to grant $500, being $375 from Mr. Wilson and $125 from Mr. Phillips. Any questions on that motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
I would guess motion carried.
Next one is Big Brothers Big Sisters of Delaware. They're requesting funds for their annual Bowl for Kids Sake. They're requesting $500. Last grant received was $500, which was $100 from each council member.
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver, to grant $500 to Big Brothers Big Sisters of Delaware for their Bowl for Kids Sake event, being $100 for each council member grant. Question on the motion?
No.
Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
I believe that motion carried. Proposed zoning ordinance, Mr. Moore?
There are none, Mr. President.
This was brought forward council, Mr. Guy.
Yeah, I have a question too.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Dan Kramer?
My name is Dan Kramer. I want to know just exactly how stupid you guys truly are. You just gave $500 to a crummy church, and I mean crummy, because first of all, they had frozen pipes. Don't they understand what insurance is? So why should you come in here and grab our tax dollars for a crummy church? Stupid is stupid.
Mr. Deaver, I'm going to be before council.
Yes, I wanted to see if we could, in the future, take a look at our code and how we, maybe, I just have some questions and ideas. Maybe we could smooth out a bit. It has to do with the Director of Planning and Zoning and our Planning and Zoning Commission and the process. So could we discuss that in the future? I do have some ideas. I'd just like to, you know.
Well, we are having that workshop coming up with these people. Is it something Todd could slip in with on the agenda maybe for that day and put a time period so we don't tie up a whole lot of time and we can?
What you're talking? How does it? And then that one's about what? How does that same
no,
thing?
We're having we've asked for a workshop.
Yeah,
correct.
On building heights.
This has nothing to do with that.
I know that, but we're having an opportunity for planning and zoning, and we're going to be all together that day, and we have an agenda for that day. Your request, I was saying, put it on the agenda for that day, and we could hear about it. Or do we have to talk about it just by itself?
Well, it's just, I just want to know your opinion. I mean, that's it, whether you think it's worth pursuing. And so when is this? Have we scheduled the workshop?
Yeah, not been scheduled.
Is it, I mean, if time is of the essence, just tell them, put, I guess, for discussion purposes?
I really would like
next
to.
Next week or something?
I really would like to talk about it next week.
Okay. And okay. A discussion on, I'm not clear on
our
what.
Our process of what Director of Planning and Zoning, how he writes the reports for Planning and Zoning Commission, and then the whole, looking at the code. The process. I just have some ideas, and maybe I think we could do a better job. That's, you know.
Okay.
I have a question.
Mr. Phillips?
Is it, just curious, is it policy for the housing director to come to us when they are spending those emergency funds, or was this just a unique case?
It was unique.
It didn't sound like much of that money has been spent so far.
Well, pardon me. I'll address a couple of things. This was a unique request. There is a large balance in play right now, but that also is coupled with the original amount that was in this year's budget, which was 75?
100,000.
100,000, and then we added additional money to that using the additional money that we have to now have a balance reflected at 120.
Right, we gave an extra 150,000 just in January when we found out about the extra funds that we could put in there. So
to answer Councilman Phillips' question. We could certainly get an up. Are you looking for an update on what the Community Development and Housing Office is spending on just emergency housing?
No, I guess I wanted to make sure. I have great confidence in our Director of Housing, and I wanted to make sure that he had the authority, or, you know, it would be good if he had the authority to spend those funds, allocate those funds in an emergency situation.
Okay, yeah. I understand.
It sounds as if that is the case.
Yeah.
With your assistance, of course.
Yeah, maybe this was a unique request. Mostly it's a very general formula that he goes through in the annual request for the emergency repairs. Yes, they have a formula that they utilize to rank them.
Yep, same subject.
And it's not going to be repeated, hopefully.
Hopefully not. Mr. Cole.
Same situation about this emergency funding. I had a phone call from one of the churches that helps the homeless, and they have a problem with the snow and other things. They have an excessive number of homeless people, and they were looking for locations to be able to house these people on it temporarily, I'm sure. But anyway, is this kind of funding is that something I could direct these when they call me and ask me for help to suggest they should call?
Right.
Is that money available for these types of uses? Say, I think my recollection, it was the, you might as well come on back, Dan, I said, but it was my recollection, it was the Epworth Church yes. who was doing something with homeless people,
right. and we gave them money,
but they've exceeded
some of their days.
Because of the severe weather. They've had other problems. Okay, was what I'm trying to say. So anyway, they had to find some, or they're looking for places to house some additional people over and above their normal workload or whatever. Is this funding, could that be used for an organization like this to secure some temporary housing for people with housing problems?
Well, we've primarily used the majority of this funding for housing rehabilitation.
Right,
and we've had a lot of emergencies. The snow has been kind of stressful on us too.
Right.
So we've had plumbers fixing frozen pipes, busted water lines, that sort of thing. It's really at the council's discretion. It's an emergency housing fund, and we've primarily used it for housing rehabilitation. But in this case, with the Seaford apartment, we've kind of expanded outside that realm. So I'd look for your guidance on the...
Okay, but in other words, if I get a phone call such as this, I could just say, yes, we at the county do have mm-hmm. some emergency funding. Please call.
You could have them call
and
me
inquire,
and then we can
look
into it.
And you would bring it to Todd to bring it to us. Okay, I just wanted to make sure that we had, because I actually gave her some ideas, but I didn't. I forgot about that. Can't remember everything, and I wasn't aware we had that money available.
Yeah.
That center is very
funding.
Important.
Anything else from council?
Thanks for coming back.
I entertain a motion
Thanks for listening. To
go into executive session for pending potential litigation and land acquisition.
So moved.
Yes.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second. Mrs. Deaver, any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. God, I was